Well, this morning's for Sunday school, we're going to have Pastor Hughes for Sunday school and our first service today. So if y'all just welcome him, come on up, Pastor Hughes. Thank you.
All right, this thing working? Amen. I don't think I need it, but it's good to be back here. I think I was here about maybe 3 weeks ago, and I didn't think I'd be back here so soon, but it's good to be here. I'm sorry that we're here under the circumstances, and but we're going to make the best of it and see what the Lord will teach us from His Word. So why don't we begin just by having a word of prayer, all right? Our Father, we are grateful to be here. Thank you, Lord, for raising up this lighthouse in the city of Florence. Thank you for the influence of Brother Storm and the impact he has had in this community and in this church. And I pray, Father, that you would just bless us and use us for your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Numbers, chapter 21. Now, the noise that you hear in the background, we're going to have a baptism service right after the morning service. And so they're filling the baptistry, and so that's what you're hearing behind me. It's not a waterfall. And I remember when I pastored in Port Orchard, Washington. Matter of fact, when I pastored in Vermont many, many, many years ago, we didn't have a baptistry like you folks. We had a horse trough, and horse trough was about yay deep, and we baptized in that horse trough, and we had people sit down in the horse trough, and when I stood outside, and we immersed them, and then when I came to Port Orchard, Washington, they had a horse trough too, and we would fill that thing up. And problem was, it didn't have an automatic shutoff, and so that thing would fill and finally just run over, and we'd have a big puddle in the basement and everything. So I'm sure that Brother Tom has that under control, and the water will not be overflowing. But I'm looking forward to baptize. It's been a while since I've done a baptism service. Matter of fact, it's been a couple of years when I was pastoring in Washington. And since we moved to Arizona, I haven't had to baptize anybody, but looking forward to doing a baptism service this morning. So in Numbers chapter 21, I want us to read the first five verses, and then I want to talk to you about a subject I think we all need to hear about in the lieu and in the time where Brother Storm has been taken to heaven suddenly. And we'll look at these verses and see if we can get some encouragement from them. The book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse 1. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I want you to notice in verse 4, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, I think in these days of COVID, and especially in the life of Florence Baptist Church, since you lost your pastor of many years just a few weeks ago, suddenly, these are discouraging days in which we live. I mean, if you're looking for encouragement, don't turn on the evening news. You're going to find nothing but discouragement there. There's not much in the newspaper or in the news that will encourage God's people today. I have a book that will encourage you, but you're not going to find much encouragement out in the media. So here we have the people of Israel, and they are discouraged because of the way they've been wandering in the wilderness, and they have faced many enemies. They faced Amalek, they faced the Amorites, they faced Bashan, they faced Midian. And here in Numbers chapter 21, they face these Canaanites, and they're enemies. They have to fight, and they're fighting all the time. And in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4, the end of the verse, they face the worst enemy of all, and that is the enemy of discouragement. Discouragement. The people were much discouraged because of the way. And this is the same enemy that every Christian faces. I face them, you face it, and that is the enemy of discouragement. And if you haven't been discouraged, stick around. You'll find something to discourage you in your walk with the Lord. The devil ain't going to sit idly by and just let you walk free without trying to discourage you. He is the discourager. And so in Numbers chapter 21, we see this: people are discouraged because of the way. Now, you have to understand, where do discouragements come from? Well, one place they come from is from an emotional collapse, You get worked up emotionally, you're on a spiritual high, and a great victorious thing, and then all of a sudden the next event, the thing about mountains is they got valleys in between them. And you get on the mountaintop, and then you go down in the valley, and you get discouraged. And that's exactly what happens here. There's a great letdown. What's happening there in verses 1, 2, and 3? Well, the Canaanites come out after. You're not coming in our country. You're going to have to go around. And so God rerouted, gave them a detour, and rerouted them around this city, around Edom. And the way was tough. The way was hard. There was loose gravel. There was mountains. There was sand. There was not much water, not much food there. It was a hot climate and sandstorms. And so they just got tired of all that. It's just the circumstances, the environment in which we're in, and it just wore them out, and they got discouraged. And so maybe you might get discouraged because the circumstances are just bad. Things aren't going your way, and you're in a situation where it's tough to live in those type of environment. So the thing I want you to understand here is no matter where the discouragement comes from, it's one of Satan's most effective weapons. I mean, if he can't stop you one way, he'll try another way. If he can't stop you another way, and finally, he'll try discouragement. He has a bag of tricks. The Bible says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And so you got to figure out that the devil will try anything to get you to stop serving the Lord. And discouragement is one of the things. I've pastored for over 40 years, and in my pastor experience, I've had to deal with discouraged Christians all the time. They get down in the dumps, they get weary, they're dragging their feet, and it's up to a pastor to try to encourage the people to keep on keeping on for God. So you'll notice there in verse number 4, look at that verse again. It says, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to Compass. They had to go around the land of Edom. They had to take a detour. How many of you like detours? Anytime I see a detour sign, I get depressed. I like to go straight on, but usually the detour is a rougher road and a lot of curvier road and a longer route. And so, you know, you just don't like detours. And they came to a detour. God says, no, you're not going to go through the land of Edom. You're going to have to compass around. You're going to have to go by the Red Sea. And then I'm going to bring you in. So that's what happens here, and that's what got them discouraged. But here, now notice this. It says, they compassed the land of Edom. Now watch. And the soul of the people was much discouraged. Notice the soul. Discouragement is really a spiritual problem. It works on your soul. When we talk about your soul, you know, I believe in the trichotomy of man. I believe man is a trinity. He is a body, he has a soul, and he has a spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. But the soul and the spirit are immaterial. The body is here, and the eyes are the windows of the soul. That is, I'm inside this body, and I'm looking out at you. That's why people, when you look at people, you don't look in their ears, you don't look in their nose, you look at them in the eye, because you want, that's where you're going to make contact, eye contact, with the soul of the person. And so the soul of the people was much discouraged, the soul of the people. That is, it was a spiritual problem they were having in their mind and in their will and in their heart. That's the emotional part of a man's life, and so they had this problem in their soul. And when you get discouraged, it's going to work on your soul, and then it may spill over into your spirit. So you got to be careful about that. So the word discouragement is basically the opposite of encourage. When you're discouraged, you've lost courage. You're not encouraged, you're discouraged. And I wonder if you can relate to that kind of a discouragement. I mean, don't you wrestle with that enemy all the time in your Christian life to try to keep yourself from getting discouraged? I mean, discouragement is common. The best Christian gets discouraged. Some of the best people in the Bible. I'm talking people like Moses. I'm talking about people like David. I'm talking about people like Elijah. I'm talking about people like Peter. They all had bouts of discouragement every now and then. I mean, Moses got discouraged? Oh, brother, you start leading 2 million Jews through the wilderness, that's enough to try anybody's courage. You look at Peter. Did he get discouraged when Jesus was being tried? He denied the Lord, amen? David, didn't he get discouraged? Sure he did. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. So we all, I don't care who you are, I don't care how good of a Christian you are, you've got to be careful of a discouragement, because discouragement is common. Also, discouragement is contagious. If you hang around people who are discouraged, it won't be long, and you'll get discouraged too. That's contagious. That's why when I'm around a discouraged Christian, I'll try to encourage them, try to get them pumped back up again, but I don't want to hang around them too long, because their discouragement will wear off on me, and it won't be long, and I'll be dragging my feet, dragging my tongue and dragging my feet also. So you got to be careful about hanging around discouraged people. But discouragement, the good news is, discouragement is curable. There is a cure for discouragement. You don't have to stay discouraged. I don't believe it's a sin to be discouraged. I don't. It happens to the best of us. But what I think is, it's a sin to stay discouraged, to stay that way. God doesn't want you to stay discouraged. He wants you to get back up on your feet and move on for God. And that's what happens here. So what do you do when you get discouraged and there's nobody around to encourage you in the Lord? Let's go over to the book of 1 Samuel and look at chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And basically, here's the message that I want to give you today. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we're going to read verses 1 down to 10. This is a great story. I'm sure Pastor Storm has preached on it before, and there's a great lesson here to be learned. Now, here's David. David is a fugitive. David has been running from King Saul for many years. Saul is out to kill him. David didn't do anything wrong. But Saul tries to smite him with a wall, with a javelin, tries to kill him on numerous occasions. And David is running for his life for no fault of his own. He didn't do anything. And he has 600 men with him. And he doesn't know where to turn. So finally, he turns to the king of the Philistines, of all people. And he seeks refuge from the Philistines because he knows Saul won't chase him into the Philistine territory, because Saul doesn't like, he's afraid of the Philistines. But David, he killed Goliath, who was the champion of the Philistines. So let's pick it up at verse number 1 and see what happens. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men, he had 600 men, David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. So David is the king, King Achish, who is the king of the Philistines. He says, David, I will let you live in the city of Ziklag. You can have Ziklag, and you can dwell there. And that's where David and his men were living. But here come the Amalekites. When David is gone, the Amalekites invade Ziklag. And verse number 2, it says they took the women captives that were therein and slew not any, neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, that Ziklag, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. I mean, can you imagine? Here comes David and his men. They come back to the city of Ziklag. It's burned with fire. All they see is smoldering ruins. All their wives and children are gone. Nothing left but smoldering ashes and ruins. And that's enough to depress you. And so, verse 4, it says, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They're crying the blues. Now watch, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. Now watch this, and David was what, church? Greatly distressed. That's just another word saying he was discouraged. He was not just a little bit discouraged, he was greatly distressed. I mean, he was like the old farmer who complained. He says, I'm as low as a snake's belly in a wagon root. That's pretty low when you get that low. Amen. And that's where David is. I mean, he has hit rock bottom. He was greatly distressed. Why? Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But, now here's the text, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged, see, there was nobody around to encourage David. There's nobody, I mean, they're gone. And the men that were with him, they saw their wives and their families were taken captive. They saw everything that they owned was in ruins, it was burnt. You know what those men are doing? They're looking around to pick up some stones. They're hunting some stones to stone David. David realizes that. They were grieved. They were hurting too. See, that's what happens. Hurting people like to hurt other people. Dogs are that way. You got a dog that's got a thorn in its paw, or it's hurting, and you try to help that dog, that dog will bite you. And that's the way it happens with a lot of people sometimes. They get discouraged. People want to discourage other people. Hurting people want to hurt other people. And so David, he sees these people hunting some stones to stone him, and he says, I need to get some encouragement. And I'm not getting it from my men, and I'm not getting it from Jonathan, and I'm not getting it from anywhere else. I just need to encourage myself in the Lord. And I want to tell you, Florence Baptist Church, when you don't have a pastor, and one of the jobs of a pastor is to encourage his people. And when that pastor is gone, where are you going to get some encouragement? Where are you going to get that? Well, the opposite of another word for discouragement or encouragement is a New Testament word, and that's the word exhortation. To exhort somebody is to encourage them. Now, you don't find the word encourage in the New Testament, but you do find the word exhort. Now listen to these verses that talk about exhortation. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Acts 27 verse 22. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. In other words, I encourage you to be happy, be encouraged. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted every one of you. See how the word comfort and exhortation go hand in hand? That is, you're encouraging somebody. That's what the word exhortation means. And that's a gift. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, that there's a gift of exhortation. Boy, I like to be around those Christians that have that gift of exhortation. Amen. And be around to encourage me. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another daily. Exhort one another. We all need it. Amen. Every day we need a little bit of exhortation. Finally, this is what the church is all about. Hebrews 10:25. You've heard it preached. Listen to it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You need to. That's why you ought to come to church. To get some exhortation, because the day is approaching. The days aren't getting better and better. They're getting worse and worse. And that's why we need to have that exhortation. We all need exhortation, sometimes more often than not. And praise God for Christians that have that gift of exhortation. Amen. That have the gift of encouragement. They can speak a word of encouragement to keep you going when it doesn't look good. So what do you do when you're somebody like David, when there's nobody around to offer you a word of encouragement? I mean, it's during those lonely days, those lonely times, where we need to learn how we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. So get the picture now. David has been running from Saul, not very encouraging, running in the wilderness with his band of 600 men, and he comes to Achish, the king of the Philistines, and he's seeking refuge. He's seeking some help. And Achish gives David and his men the city of Ziklag, and they settle there, and that's where they're living. And so when David and his men are away from the town, here come the Amalekites. They raid Ziklag, they burn the city, and they abduct all their families. And so I'm sure that David was depressed. I'm sure all the men there are depressed. They're discouraged. And there's no welcome home banners. There's no yellow ribbons. There's no signs. There's no signs saying we support our troops. No hugs, no kisses, just ruins. Ashes and ruins, smoldering ruins. So David is greatly distressed. He doesn't know where his family is. He doesn't even know if they're alive. I mean, he comes, Abigail, his two wives are gone. All the men are gone. All the children are gone. I mean, they didn't even know if they were alive. And now the men are thinking about stoning him. And he's left alone. He doesn't have anything. So David needs some encouragement. But where is he going to get it? Where is he going to get it? He can't get it from his family. They're gone. Can't get it from Samuel. Samuel's dead. Can't get it from his friend Jonathan. Jonathan's nowhere to be found. There's only one place he's going to get it, and that's he's going to have to encourage himself in the Lord. And there are times, and I'm sure this church knows a little bit what I'm talking about, there are times when the situation looks bleak, the situation looks dark, the situation looks hopeless. What are you going to do when you can't get encouragement? Do you have a pity party? Do you throw up your hands and say, oh, I quit? Do you run? No. What you do is you do what David did. You encourage yourself in the Lord. So look at verse number 6, and here's how to encourage yourself when there's nobody else to encourage you. Verse number 6. David was greatly distressed. He was discouraged. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Would you say that's a picture of depression and discouragement? Now, what's the next word? It says, for his sons and for his daughters, colon. What's the next word? But. That is the turning point. That's where everything turns around. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That you got to get to that point where there's a turning point, where things go from being discouraged, from being encouraged and encouraging himself. So how did David do it? Well, first of all, number one, David turned from himself. See, if you're just looking to yourself, you ain't going to find much encouragement there. Amen. but he encouraged himself in the Lord. See, he got his eyes off himself and got his eyes back where they ought to be, on the Lord. I mean, for years, David had been trusting in himself. That's why he is at Ziklag. I mean, can you imagine going to the enemies of God and seeking refuge from the enemies of God, the Philistines? See, he is trying to figure this thing out humanly. He's trying to plan his plan out human, and it was wrong. It was just leading him into deeper into discouragement. David's been out of fellowship with God for a long time. Do you know when the last time David inquired of the Lord? It's back in chapter 23. We're in chapter 30. So from chapter 23 to chapter 30, David does no praying, no reading his Bible, no nothing. He is out of fellowship with God. And brother, that will get you discouraged all the time. You get out of fellowship. He had to get back in fellowship with God. So he's confronted with this situation. And so what is he going to do? So first of all, he says, I need to get my eyes back off of myself and get my eyes back on God. So he turned from himself and he turned, number two, he turned to the Lord. That's what he should have done a long time ago. He should have never got his eyes off of the Lord. So when there's no place else to turn but up, you turn up. See, it's not a bad thing to get your back against the wall. And that's where Israel was at the Red Sea. I mean, they were trapped. They had Pharaoh's army behind them. They had mountains on either side of them. They had the Red Sea in front of them. What did they do? They turned to the Lord. Amen? And that's what you need to do. When there's no place else to look but up, you look up. And that's exactly what David does. And so David, he calls for Abiathar, the preacher. And look at verse number 7. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, watch now, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David, underline it, and David inquired at the Lord. David inquired. I mean, it's been, the last time he inquired of the Lord, as I said, was chapter 23. This is the first time he's inquired of the Lord all that time. Chapter 23, chapter 24, chapter 25, chapter 26, chapter 27, chapter 28, chapter 29, 30. I mean, that's seven chapters gone by. It's been years since he's inquired of the Lord. He says, hey, bring me the ephod. Now, the ephod is where the Urim and the Thummim was, and that's where God would counsel his people. And David said, hey, it's time to dust off the ephod. I need to talk to the Lord about this situation. I need to inquire of the Lord. And so they brought the ephod to David, and he inquired of the Lord. Look at verse 8. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he, that is God, he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely, for that's a promise, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David, you don't see David saying, well, what am I going to do now? He's not chewing his nails. He's not fidgeting. He's not shivering. He's not saying, well, what am I supposed to do now? No, he turns to the Lord to get direction from the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, David, go after him. And you'll overtake him. And you'll not only overtake him, you're going to get everything back. You get all your families back. You get all your children back. I mean, you're going to recover everything that you've lost. You just need to go and do what I tell you to do. Pursue. So he's not encouraging himself in his own plans. He's not encouraging himself in his own power or his own position. He knew that God was gracious and that God would direct him which way to go. That's why he inquired of the Lord. That's what you need to be doing. Say, Lord, here we are. Florence Baptist Church. Now, you didn't start this church through Brother Storm just to cause us to fold up shop. Pastor Storm is gone. We miss him. We love him. But we know you're not done with us here. So you need to inquire of the Lord. Okay, Lord, what do we do now? And of course, what God told David, God gave him triumph. God gave him victory. He says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep going. I want you to pursue. And God gave him a promise. He said, you chase them after, and you will overtake them, and you're going to get everything back. You're going to get everything back. And see, that's what you need to do. You need to say, okay, God has a promise for us. And we need to trust God's promises. And God, and that's what David does. He trusts God's promises. And I don't have time to preach the whole text to you, but what actually happens, he goes after the Amalekites. He finds the Amalekites. He defeats the Amalekites. And guess what? He gets everything back. He not only gets everything back, he gets all the spoils of the Amalekites. He got more back. See, God has bigger plans for you than you have for yourself. I mean, you can't put all your eggs in one basket, and that basket is called Pastor Storm. The basket is God. And he's got bigger things in store for you than you can imagine. Amen. And that's what you need to do. So it is a blessing to have friends that will encourage you when you're down. Amen. It's a blessing to have pastors who will encourage you when you're facing a crisis. But what do you do during the dark times when your friends are gone and your family's gone and your pastor is gone? You got to learn to turn from your own strength and turn from your own resources and turn unto God and inquire of God. Okay, God, here we are. What do you want us to do next? And then you move on. I like that little chorus. I don't know if I can sing it for you, but I like the chorus. Let me see if I can sing it for you. Maybe you know the chorus. It goes like this. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway for a child of God to know. Though the road seems long and rough, if he leads me, that's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day. Just want God's way to be your way. Though the road seems long and rough, if he's leading, that's enough. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the lesson of encouraging yourself. I pray that this church will learn to encourage themselves even when there's not a pastor to stand behind this pulpit. I pray, Lord, that you give this church exactly what they need. And we know that if they have Jesus, they have all that they need. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're going to take a little break between Sunday school and church. And so stick around. Don't run off. We got another message for you. Yeah, amen. That's right.